Okay, can we now proceed with the agenda? Okay, I'll try to... was there an objection?
No, no, I just wanted to mention that we're about a half an hour behind scheduled.
Yeah, I'll make up, I'll catch 3 minutes of that up in the item 3C committee report to PMB, because that's where I'm supposed to tell you the progress I've made in preparing a report for this upcoming PMB meeting. I've made no progress. What I hope to accomplish and hand to Laverne on Thursday is at least a simple report indicating all the PMB, all the resolutions adopted by this committee so far this year. And for that to happen, those who have the text of those resolutions from prior minutes have to send them to me ASAP at my new email address, which is tgoodman@ispwest.com.
Have you sent that email address to us?
I believe so.
Okay.
But it's been difficult. If we can now proceed to item 4 on the agenda, work group reports and issues. The first item, technology follow-up, only will take time if someone can report that they have managed to contact the previous election supervisor. Hearing no answer. Item B has been stricken from the agenda, so we go to item C, staff list. Mr. Lederer.
Okay. The staff list working group met approximately 2 weeks ago, I believe, and we began discussing some of the issues that were brought to everyone's attention by the previous national election supervisor. But before we did that, actually, Casey Peters brought an issue to us, which was, Casey, you're on the call. Why don't you just summarize it? You actually alluded to it earlier.
I did allude to it earlier, and that's that the question of who comprises management. Let me back up a little bit. The bylaws specify that staff voters are comprised of two groups. One is the unpaid staff, but the other is paid staff that are non-management. But we don't have a definition of the term non-management. For instance, we don't know if the assistant to a program director is considered management or non-management. And there are several other categories, chief engineer, et cetera. So this is just something that I wanted to clarify. We're not talking about a whole lot of votes here. But, of course, the staff election has a small number of votes. So I'm trying to find some clarity on that, and we haven't achieved it yet.
Okay, and so that's one of the issues we'll continue discussing at our next meeting, which is actually tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And the other issue that we began discussing, and we did have some people on from the KPFA unpaid staff organization, so they informed us as to what their bylaws sets as their definition of membership in terms of number of hours of work, and that figure is significantly different than the figure at WBAI, which is a figure very close to the one that's in the bylaws for the three stations that don't have recognized or staff organizations. Of course, that bylaws requirement is 30 hours in the preceding 3 months. WBAI is 10 hours for 10 hours a month for 4 months, or 20 hours for 2 months, also for a total of 4 months. So it all kind of amounts to the same thing. But KPFA is a little different. It's quite a bit different. So they discussed the process by which some of them are going to try to change their bylaws to bring it into closer conformity to the other stations. So, again, we can continue that topic at tomorrow night's meeting and the other recommendations that Les Radke had made last year. So that's where we're at.
Terry's on stack. Anyone else?
I have a question. This is Teresa.
Go ahead. Ms. Allen?
Bob, how do I join that meeting tomorrow? Is it the same conference call number that we're on now?
No, it's a different one, which I'm going to send out later tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I forgot one sentence. The call, I've arranged that the call will be web-streamed tomorrow night.
Is it on the calendar?
I've never been told what the procedure is to put something on the calendar. So maybe, Terry, after the call, you and I can work that out.
Okay. And all I wanted to say was urge that discussion start on the email group for this work group because of the advantages of not the scheduling advantages of not having to delay the discussion in teleconference. And I'll try to make that point tomorrow night also. Any more questions regarding this work group? The next item is related. I put here because Ms. Burden was had submitted and may have a different motion regarding the composition of this work group. Ms. Burden?
Yes, thank you. I sent it out before the meeting. I don't know if everybody has it, but essentially I was distressed because the some people who were interested in this were not allowed to be on the work group call, even just to listen. They were asked to leave. And I felt that violated the bylaws, which say that all of our meetings should be open to the public, and the fact that we have teleconferences should not really affect their right. I had suggested that Bob set this committee up, this work group, on an internet teleconferencing system so that anybody could call in on their own nickel and join the group, listen in, and of course only work group members would be voting, but lots of people were interested in the subject. So the motion I'm proposing is that, shall I read it? Everybody got it, but perhaps for our listeners I should read it.
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
There's a large section of the bylaws, and that is Article 7, Section 6C, and whereas that section requires meetings, quote, open to the public and to all members, with the exception of those meetings dedicated to or predominantly regarding personnel, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters requiring confidential advice of counsel, involving commercial or financial information obtained on a privileged or confidential basis, or relating to a purchase of property or the use of engagement of services, whenever the premature exposure of said purchase or sale, or in the LSB's sole opinion, may compromise the legitimate business interest of said radio station or the foundation, etc. And whereas the same section of the bylaws states that, quote, no person shall be required as a condition for attendance at any public meeting or to publicly comment to register his or her name or to provide any other information, therefore be it resolved that all meetings, including teleconferences, of the Elections Committee and its subcommittees, work groups, and other organized meetings of its members shall be web-streamed, or, if web-streaming is not possible for technical reasons, teleconferences shall be open to members of Pacifica. Members of Pacifica, other than members of the Elections Committee, and those appointed or elected to a work group or subcommittee who are joining a teleconference, may take part in the deliberations if such participation is approved by a majority vote of the Elections Committee members on the call. No member taking part in the deliberations after such approval shall be required to register his or her name or provide any other information in order to participate. Be it further resolved that all such work group and subcommittee meetings shall be publicly announced at least 5 days in advance, with the announcement to include instructions for interested parties who wish to listen to the web stream or the teleconference. And that was the end of the motion.
Okay. My computer is rebooting, Ms. Gatewood. Can you take us back for discussion on this item?
Ms. Treese, I have a question.
I'm sorry, I could not hear you. What did you say, Terry?
I asked you to construct the stack because I'm logging onto my computer.
Very good. Okay. And that was Teresa, I think?
Yes.
And this is Lydia, if you, I can be on the
okay.
stack.
All right. Anybody
Carolyn,
else?
Are you asking that the that this subgroup that meets tomorrow night, for example, that the conference call number be given out to the general public so they could actually be on the call and could actually interrupt the people of the subgroup that we're discussing things?
Two parts there, if I may. No, I'm not asking that the number be given out. I'm asking that I think it'll have to be if we don't set up an internet location for this, or if it's not web streamed, and if all of our workgroups are not web streamed. And I specifically said that they can participate in the deliberations only if they have been a majority of the elections committee members on the call agree to that. Otherwise, they would just listen. But if it was not web-streamed, then I think there should be some provision for people to join the call and listen.
Terry on stack.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob on stack, please.
Okay, so we have Lydia, Terry, and then Bob.
Oh, okay. Should I go ahead?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I think this is a governance committee issue, for one thing, because it would, it seems like that would be a precedent-setting situation that would affect all of the committees. And I don't see how this is workable. Because I do not think you can just have anyone on these calls. Even if you say, well, the committee as a whole can vote, I mean, that would be an inordinate amount of time to just determine, take votes for every person that was on the call. I just don't think that this is workable. But beyond that, I don't think it belongs. It's an issue for this committee. I think that it needs to be referred to governance.
Terry?
Yes, I see the same sorts of problems with workability and think it would cripple work groups, but I did not rule the motion out of order because its language is specific to this committee in placing these requirements on its work groups. It does not determine that work groups must follow the requirement, the open meeting requirements, except for this work group. I will mention that another way to accomplish the same thing might be to convert the existing committee or work group of interest into a subcommittee, because I don't think there's any question that a subcommittee must follow open meeting requirements. That's it.
Teresa on the stack.
Let's see. Bob first.
Well, I agree with Lydia that this really is a governance issue. And in fact, actually, I recall last year, I think, or perhaps the year before, the governance committee did pass some sort of motion about the functioning of working groups. And I can't recall the details right now, but of course, it, like any committee, can only recommend, and it did recommend something to the PNB, and I think the PNB actually may have rejected whatever procedure they set forth. But the point is that that is the committee that has purview over this type of area. But I also agree with the other point that's been raised, that this proposal is completely impractical, and I have to take exception to the other members' characterization of how I organized the last call. I very strictly followed the motion of this committee that established this working group, which explicitly stated the people to be invited on the call were staff members invited by members of the committee. It said staff. It didn't say anyone. And the purpose of that was to get the input and knowledge of staff about the purpose, about the focus of this working group, which is about the construction of staff lists and the qualifications for being considered staff and so on. So if anything was inappropriate, it was for one member to take it upon herself to invite people who had no authorization to be given a private code to get on that call. The other point for the future about that kind of arrangement is that because these calls, all the services that I know of require you to pay for your own long distance. So it would really be setting up kind of an economic divide between those listeners who could afford to, you know, to call in on one of these things and those who couldn't. And there's just many, many practical issues that make this completely unwieldy. And it's not necessary because we have many, many mechanisms for input of our members into our deliberations and discussions. And, I mean, we are elected by the different constituencies to represent them, and but also to hear, you know, to have people participate in other ways, and we provide those other ways. So that's
before
it.
We spend too much time on this item, is there another member who wishes to speak in favor of the motion?
I would, after anyone else cares to.
Well, I don't want us to spend a whole lot of time. People opposed to the motion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to speak in favor of the motion now.
All
and
right.
And then we can see if there's anyone else.
Thank you. I don't think that the arguments are really too well taken. I don't believe it's a governance committee issue simply because it relates only to the elections committee. To call a subcommittee a work group or a work group a subcommittee is almost to play with the language. I think the question is, are our meetings open to the public or not? The staff members, to restrict discussion of staff composition to staff members completely ignores the fact that the larger membership is extraordinarily, very strongly affected by what the staff does and who they elect. So I think it's to exclude people who are not members of the staff from a discussion or even to listen. They weren't even wanting to discuss. They wanted to listen, I think, is really improper. And what were we trying to hide on that meeting is what's bothering me. Why could people not be on the call and listen? I think that really is the question, what was going to be discussed that had to be kept secret. I think that if we're going to err, I think it should be on the side of openness and not closing a meeting. Perhaps Terry could explain the distinction between a subcommittee and a work group, which sort of escapes me. I just assume that they're synonymous and at this level since the LSB is already a subcommittee. If we're organizing a subcommittee, that's another issue. And so far as the inviting people onto a list, I do think that we should be opening our meetings to people who are interested and have some vested interest in the issue itself. There is no other way for people to join an elections committee discussion on this issue. Maybe I missed one, but perhaps Bob could tell me one.
Carrie could tell you one.
Oh, okay.
By having the discussion on an open email list rather than on a closed telephone conference call.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
I heard a member wishing to be recognized, but Jane, you sound distant, but you are recognized.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe my phone's losing some of its battery power.
Okay.
So I do think that there is a legitimate concern that this work group in particular needs some open airing, and it seems that the arrangement to stream tomorrow's meeting and the arrangement to have that posted to the calendar is in the right direction. And so I would like to offer a substitute motion that this committee asks that future work group, future meetings meetings of the staffless work group be web streamed, and that efforts be made to engage a broader audience in discussion through email.
Would you say the last words again, please?
And that
efforts
be made to broaden the involvement through public email list.
Okay. I presume you're writing that as you speak?
I was not, unfortunately. So I'm offering a substitute motion that that future meetings of the staffless work group be web streamed, and that efforts be undertaken to broaden the involvement through the use of public email lists.
This is Jack. I'd like to speak to the substitute motion.
Go ahead, Mr. Van Aken.
I have a question. I guess it's a point of information, actually. Is there a financial impact to the addition of additional web streaming incidents?
I can answer that. Yes, the current foundation policy is that all web streaming requests must be approved by the national office because a member of the national technical staff is paid for their connecting it to a web stream.
Is it possible for us before voting to have a sense of what the financial impact would be in dollar terms, even a ballpark figure?
Maybe John Amella can answer that.
Well, there is also a per minute charge for each participant on a work group on a teleconference when we use the Pacifica's toll-free teleconference number, which does not have to be the one used by this committee. A separate one can be assigned.
Well, I guess there's no answer to my question, then.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Ms. Brisson.
Yes, I move to postpone this till the next meeting with the proviso that we obtain that information.
Okay.
In the interim.
Mr. Lederer, you most recently spoke to someone on the national office regarding web streaming. Can you do the follow-up on this?
Sure.
Okay.
And also, can I be recognized?
Currently...
When you're done, go ahead.
Yeah, currently it's a motion to postpone. Is it to speak to that motion that you wish to be recognized?
Indirectly, yeah.
I'll let you get away with
or
it.
Maybe
go ahead.
maybe it's an alternate motion. It's that I was going to suggest dividing the two parts of this motion because I support the idea of web streaming each call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. No, I was mixing that up with the the list. Okay, you know what? That was before the financial thing came up. I do support the idea of web streaming, but I think you know the PNB is operating under a mandate to get financial impact before it takes any action. So I think the committee should follow that general precedent of the PNB. But I guess what I really wanted to say is, as chair of this working group for now, or as convener, I would be willing, you know, with the permission of the national office, which I obtained for this call tomorrow, to continue doing that on a case-by-case basis until we vote on this motion. So it doesn't really need a motion to just, I'll just continue doing that unless anyone objects.
Okay. So, first of all, is the motion to postpone consideration withdrawn by the maker?
No, I think it's still relevant because there's a substitute motion, and that is what I am moving to postpone until we have a financial impact. the fact that Bob is able to continue streaming because he has gotten special permission is not referred to in the main motion. So
yeah,
we have to postpone it.
We actually got permission for this work group to be streamed last term of this committee. Is there any more discussion on the motion to postpone? If I don't even know the discussion is in order on a motion to postpone. So shall we have a roll call on the motion to postpone to the next meeting?
Are we postponing the substitute or the...
And the original. Yes. If the substitute is defeated at the next meeting, then the original re-arises.
Mm-hmm. You want a roll call, though?
Yes, because we're going for everything.
Mr. Chair, perhaps...
Well, I can ask if there's any objection to postponing to the next meeting.
It is debatable, Terry.
Thank you. Understanding that it is debatable, is there anyone who needs to speak before we ask if there's an objection?
I just want to say it sounds like we're making the best effort to get it done, so I hope there's not an objection. We can just go on from there.
Is there any objection to postponing consideration of the substitute and the main motion to the next elections committee?
No.
Hearing no objection, let us proceed to the next item, which originally was membership lists. Is that still on the agenda?
Yes.
Ms. Roberts, you're recognized.
Hello?
You're not muted.
Hi, thanks. I need to check schedules with, I think it's Callan and, of course, Casey, because Callan felt she couldn't work unless Casey were present. And I know his schedule is sort of demanding, but I will try to... there were some other members who had expressed interest but never responded to the email, or responded to the email but never got on the call. But I'll float another email tomorrow to see who's available when. There is still some work to be done.
Any questions for the convener?
I'm sorry, what was it you wanted?
Are there any questions or comments for the convener of the membership lists work group?
No, I believe it's meeting tomorrow, and I intend to listen into that meeting.
That's the staff list work group.
A staff list. I'm at the membership list.
We have a separate work group that is addressing all the membership list issues that are not specifically related to staff.
Well, as Mr. Van Aken brought up a bit earlier, I believe it was Jack, there has been an ongoing problem over the years with duplicates and all that, and I would be happy to have any suggestions as to approaches that might be made to help resolve that problem. And that's really all I can say right now. I was not aware of this group. Well, when is it supposed to meet? And
Ms. Roberts is attempting to schedule it based on the schedules of those who expressed interest in participating.
Well, I definitely have an interest in it. And,
do you have any particular suggestion on a good time, day of the week, based on your schedule?
My schedule is fairly flexible. It changes from week to week.
Any more comment, Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Can we ask Ms. Roberts what's the list of the people that are interested in participating on this subgroup or work group?
Yes, you may.
I actually don't have the notes here. I think you might have been, Teresa, one of the people who responded that you were interested but never made the actual call. And we did meet once, excuse me, about the same time actually that we were meeting with regard to the timeline, because I convened both groups. And the timeline group, actually people showed up and we met, and, you know, Henry and Jane and others, and we got a lot of that done. And Casey was in on those calls, and he was also in on the one call that did happen. The second call, as Carolyn refused to continue with the first call, and I think we had trouble reaching Mary.
Let me remind the member of meeting protocol.
I'm sorry, that was her statement. It's a quote. But I think Deb and Mary Berg and Teresa had also expressed interest, but don't hold me to that list as I'm not looking at notes at the moment.
Yeah, Burden on the stack, please.
Ms. Burden is recognized probably for a point of personal privilege.
Yes, thank you. It certainly is. The circumstances were not exactly as the member reports. The came on a call and no one else was on except the convener and myself, and I asked if Casey were coming on, and I was told no. And I asked if there were an agenda, and there was none. And I said I didn't know what there was to discuss without Casey there, without an agenda or the National Election Supervisor. And so I thought that perhaps we should meet another time. And that was the end of the call. I wouldn't characterize it exactly as refusal, but simply a recognition of the futility of meeting under those circumstances.
Well, okay.
I hope we
Chair,
can end the discussion of the various versions of that call at this point.
I would like to say something.
But then the member risks being cited if they violate decorum. Go ahead.
The report with regard to that first attempt is sent to the committee right after the attempt. And it is on record that, in fact, I think we both attempted to call different people. I attempted, I think, Mary, and she attempted someone from Houston, maybe Teresa, but neither of us remembered to call Deb, and notes were sent out with regard to that. We did, in fact, I did discuss with her some of the issues that I wanted us to begin with, and she indicated that she did not feel she wanted to go ahead with the call. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it is true.
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Go ahead, Ms. Allen.
Rather than take up any more of the other committee's time, it might be nice if we could tentatively, there are four of us here. There is Serene and me and Carolyn and Casey. If maybe the four of us can kind of agree on one or two convenient times right now, we could just get on with it. I think I was on vacation when the last time we met, and so I don't think you would have been able to reach me anyway. But it's somewhat frustrating me when I have to see like 20 emails of people saying, well, Tuesday's good for me, Wednesday's not, next person says Wednesday is good, Thursday's not. So if we could just throw out a couple dates, I'll tell you whether that's doable.
And member speaking, propose a date.
Point of information.
Go ahead for a point of information.
This is Jane. What is this? What is this work group membership list doing? That's for the whole big topic of membership.
Yes, the issues identified by previous National Election Supervisors regarding the maintenance of membership lists.
Is there a need for us to have a work group on this?
There is indeed. And that was the sense of the Elections Committee when it established the work group. Basically, it's everything regarding membership lists that are not specific to staff lists.
Okay, thank
you. And with respect to elections. Do we have
Chair?
Any potential dates for this?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Serena. I actually don't have my calendar now. Mary Burke is one of the people who has been interested in, is also not on this call. And I really don't need to take committee time to set up a work group call. I've just indicated that I will send out an email tomorrow polling people about their availability, and I think we can move on.
Is there an objection to moving on?
I'd like to clarify something, if I may. I would like to make it clear that this work group should involve interested people who are not on the committee, such as Mary and others who are interested. And also, I'd like to make sure that the meeting is either web-streamed or that we use a commercial service so that everyone can call in on their own cell phones.
If you're making a motion, it is out of order based on the previous actions of this committee during this meeting, as it is substantially the same as the motion previously
Well, but that was for all meetings. This is particular to this particular work group. I'm proposing that this work group agree, as the other work group did, to attempt to whip stream or open the meeting somehow.
The opening of the meeting was decided when this work group was created. It did not have the restrictions of the staff list work group. The web streaming issue, however, is postponed, and I'm ruling that out of order. Is there an appeal?
Yes, I would like to, simply because I think this is a particular instance that doesn't apply to all future meetings of the work groups, as the original motion did.
Okay, you've stated your basis of appeal. I will ask the secretary to call the roll on whether the ruling of the chair is sustained.
Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Okay, so voting yes to sustain the ruling of the chair, or no to overrule. Is that correct?
And could you restate the ruling of the chair just so people are clear on what they're voting on?
Yes. The ruling of the chair is that the issue of web streaming a committee is out of order as a motion, because substantially the same motion was already discussed and consideration was postponed.
So a vote yes is to sustain the ruling of the chair. A vote no is to overturn it. Bob Letterer?
Yes.
Carol Wolf?
Abstain.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
Doreen Roberts?
Yes.
Henry Knorr?
No.
Zach Van Aken?
No.
LeVarn Williams? LeVarn, are you there?
That's a pass for now.
Off the call. Lydia Brisson?
Pass.
Sandra Rawline?
Yes.
Teresa Allen?
No.
Terry Gooden? And Jane, you guide a yes. So we have
two members who passed.
Yes, we have two abstains. We have one.
You need to call the members who passed before announcing the tally.
Oh, no, they didn't pass. They abstained.
Ms. Brisson?
Lydia passed.
Passed, and Ms. Williams did not respond, that I heard.
LeVarn, are you on the phone? I thought that Lydia abstained.
Passed, but I will abstain.
Okay. The secretary can report the tally.
Okay, we have... Yes.
An equal vote sustains the ruling of the chair. That's why the chair doesn't vote.
One, two, three, four yeses. One, two, three, four noes. And two abstains.
The ruling of the chair is sustained by a tied vote. So the motion is out of order. But that's only on the issue of web streaming.
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Go ahead, Ms. Allen.
I just want to comment again that to go through this lengthy process when there are four people that maybe could chime in and say, okay, well, let's try Wednesday or Thursday night or blah, 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 blah. You know, this very lengthy trying to get five or six people on the same page by email is very exhausting.
This is Casey. May I say something?
Yes, you may.
I'm invited to the meeting in question, and that is that perhaps the responses could just go to the convener rather than burden everybody else with having to open up all those emails, for one thing. I also want to say that I'm pretty much flexible, as I said before, and open to any time, but not this week, obviously, with the PNB meeting.
there was objection to moving to the next agenda item, although we are undoubtedly at time.
So you're looking at convening this meeting sometime after the PMB, is that correct?
Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Roberts has mentioned that she does not have her calendar at hand, so would have difficulty scheduling herself, I suspect.
That point of information.
Mr. Lederer?
Terry, can you clarify what you said before about the other part of the member's request is not restricted? I didn't follow what you said.
Right. Ms. Burden did not make a formal motion, but was suggesting further discussion on the issues of the openness of the staff list work group to persons not on the committee or not designated by the committee. And the other portion of which she wanted discussed was web streaming of this work group.
You mean the membership list?
Yeah, the membership list work group. And the chair ruled that the web streaming issue had already been discussed and so was out of order, but that the committee can give further guidance regarding who it wants to be invited to the teleconference call. Although the original motion, if I had it, on the creation of this work group did specifically mention Mary Berg, who is not a member of this committee, I believe. And also, on a general principle, I believe mentioned that others could join.
Mr. Reed?
Go ahead, Ms. Roberts.
The motion, and I don't have a copy of it in front of me either, but my recollection is that it specifically talked about it inviting as participants those people who actually prepare the list of volunteers who...
You are correct.
Okay, so I would think that... You know, the suggestion that anything that does not throw the call open to everyone who has an interest, which could be an unlimited number of people, certainly an unwieldy number of people, that the opposite of that is trying to hide something, is really an unfortunate trend. That I hear people repeating. It really doesn't serve anyone well. I think that the call is open to both listener and staff members of the Elections Committee. It is specifically open to Mary Burke, who's consistently expressed interest in working on this and was on the committee last year. And it includes the people, however many they may be at each station, who are responsible for doing that, you know, assuming they're willing, because we can't direct their appearance. We can request their appearance and participation. And that seems to me quite enough to get a diversity of views and diversity of opinion, and more importantly, to get really useful information about what is happening. So I would ask people to attempt to restrain themselves with regard to, making assumptions and stating as fact their assumptions about other people's motives.
Mr. Chair?
Point of personal privilege. Carolyn here.
For what purpose did the other member seek recognition?
Point of information.
The point of personal privilege, I believe, is privileged. So go ahead, Ms. Burden.
I would ask the chair to ask the member not to characterize people's comments and question. I think that is unfortunate that the meeting goes in that direction, and I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. The chair did not correct the prior member because the member's comments were in order in the opinion of the chair. The
point of information?
Point of information, yes.
Am I clear in understanding that you're going to invite perhaps the staff members like Lewis, who's our membership chair, or our election supervisor, those people that help compile the lists? So this meeting might actually be during the day? During their work hours or something?
the invitation will be made, excuse me, and various times will be suggested. We'll see what happens. I don't know that there was any express intention. Certainly there was no intention on my part to involve the local election supervisors, whom I think are pretty involved in other pressing tasks at this point.
But you are intending to invite the staff members that compile the list then?
It is my intention to invite those people who are involved in the preparation of the list of volunteers and paid members, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there more discussion on the item? Is there a motion on this item? Ms. Burden, did you wish to present a motion?
No, I do not.
If there's no more discussion on this item, then we will ask Ms. Roberts to advise the entire committee if those, specifically interested, have chosen a date, just so that we can keep track on the progress of the work group.
I have consistently done so and intend to continue doing so.
Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is motion on teleconference phone system. Ms. Burden.
Yes, I believe that was the same second half of the motion I presented before, and that is that we move whenever possible to an internet-based teleconferencing system so people could use their own cell phones. I don't think the financial burden is so great as to impose an undue hardship on anyone who wants to join a call, and I think it would save the foundation a good deal of money because those calls are very expensive per minute, and I think our the teleconference calls. I did not, however, prepare a financial statement, and I wonder if I had promised to do that as to how much these services call. But there are advantages to them, and I would like to postpone that until I have more data. I'm sorry, I don't have it handy. But the main advantage of those calls is that they can be monitored from the convener's computer, and people who come and go can be tracked, so we don't need to waste time saying, are you on the call, have you left the call, and so on. And it's relatively inexpensive for each person. I don't think it's an onerous cost. So that was my original intent, and I'm sorry, I don't have a motion.
Okay, the individual who placed this item on the agenda has not presented a motion and asked that it be continued to the next meeting. However, the chair does interpret what she said just now as notice to the committee that such a motion will be presented, so that if it bears upon items, motions previously adopted by the committee, there is a possibility that motion can still be approved with a simple majority vote. Since the motion has not been presented and is not in the control of the committee, it is not withdrawn because it's not presented. We can move on to the next agenda item unless there is someone who wishes to speak so that the member making the motion might have that information in preparing it.
I just have a point of information.
Go ahead.
The decision about which conference call system is used, I thought was made by the national office, not by individual committees. So are we now changing that by, in fact, entertaining the members' interest in changing the way we conduct the meetings? I thought that was pursuant to the bylaws and then a decision made in the national office. I didn't realize that was a committee matter, and certainly not an elections committee matter as opposed to, let's say, a finance committee matter.
In the opinion of the chair, work groups are not bound by the committee rules. And
they're not bound by foundation policy?
They're not bound. they're specifically not bound to only use the telephone conference system that is used for official committee business.
Okay.
Because work groups are not conducting official committee business unless the PMB has ruled otherwise in the motions mentioned before, which I think never got passed at the PMB level. matter of
interpretation. Carol Wolf, I have to leave the call.
Say again?
Carol Wolf, I need to leave the call. I'm sorry.
Okay. The Secretary will note that Carol Wolf is leaving the call.
Thank you.
Okay, and the Secretary would also like to note that we have 22 minutes remaining until our adjournment time, and 25 minutes worth of scheduled items.
Okay, we can. I think we can proceed to unfinished business. The first item of unfinished business is station policies on membership waivers. There was some report from various committee members on this issue at the last meeting, and I think the meeting before. Does anyone wish to update the committee on the policy at their station regarding to hardship waivers? Is there a member who wishes to present a motion for committee consideration on this issue? Shall we remove this item from the continuing agenda? Is there any objection?
I don't think
so. Hello?
One person spoke before another person said hello. Ms. Gatewood, was that you?
This is Jane Gatewood. I don't think it should be removed because of that.
Then there is objection, and it will remain.
Thank you.
And the member who said hello?
Serene, the same. I was asking that it remain in place. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
This is Lydia.
Ms. Brazan, go ahead.
But may I request that at our next meeting that everyone bring whatever their policy is, the individual station policy is on hardship waivers. Clearly there are discrepancies. It would really be useful, I think, to have a uniform one, but we can't even get started addressing that unless we know what everyone's doing.
It is useful to understand that intent. If we know the policies at each station, then this committee could recommend a uniform policy.
Do any stations have policies they could send to the website?
KPFP does. It came out of the governance committee, and Deb Shapto is on vacation, so I don't quite know how I can get it, but I will send her an email right now and try to get it.
Yeah, I would
New
like
York.
Anybody who's got a policy could post it to the work group, to the
I believe I posted a rundown of a proposal and a policy that was adopted for a single election. And I believe the KPFK Governance Committee may be considering a policy for this next election.
That's correct.
Serene?
Ms. Roberts, go ahead.
Some time ago, I don't have the exact date, I did post the results, or a brief report on the New York process to the group, so it's in there somewhere. And I think... Well, someone else did. I don't remember who, but from another listening area other than New York.
Mr. Knorr, was one of the committee work groups that you're working on actually considering this issue? Do you recall?
Not that I recall, no.
Okay, thank you. Is there more discussion on membership waivers? The next item on the agenda is relating to the recommendations of last term's participation work group. There was a whole list of ways that that work group suggested might improve membership involvement in the elections process, in forums and such. And might a member of this committee be interested in taking up those recommendations and perhaps suggesting committee follow-up? Okay, I'll try to find that document and send it to the list in case there is interest. The next item is continuing on the agenda because when Mr. Lederer summarized the recommendations of prior national and local election supervisors, he mentioned that there were some things not in his summary, and one of those things he mentioned was policy regarding campaign use of membership lists. So I put this on the continuing agenda in case he or any member had developed resolutions for committee consideration regarding those issues for which we have not yet assigned work group.
Are we on item 4J?
5C.
5C.
5C. Okay, thank you.
Including 5C1.
Yes.
Does the member wish to be recognized? Mr. Lederer, can I hear you?
To my knowledge, every national election supervisor, including the current one, who's on, I think is still on the call with us, Casey, has expressed serious concern about the influence of money in our election campaigns and how much that seems to replicate the patterns in the larger governmental election system, the very negative patterns about the negative effects of and the imbalances of who has access to funds. So I think it would be important for us to develop a proposal to deal with that, and I would move that we form a working group to come up with proposals on that issue.
Is there any objection to forming a working group on this issue? There ain't no objection. Who would like to volunteer to serve?
I will.
This is Lydia. I would like to ask if Casey's on the call first a question before.
Yes, I'm still on the call.
Okay. Casey, do you already have some preliminary thoughts on the issue? Have you developed anything?
It's really hard to think of anything that's not going to cost an objectionable amount of money. You know, that is a real strong consideration. Now, what I do intend to provide the candidates with this time around is the opportunity to have a blog on a centralized website so that that gives them more of an opportunity to get their various ideas out. I also feel that the mailing that's done by the foundation basically gives everybody equal opportunity to get their ideas out, along with the broadcast candidate statements and the forums that are on air. So I'm not sure that, you know, given that situation, that there really is a strong case to be made for allowing privatized mailing. I'm not completely familiar with the California nonprofit law that governs this particular situation, but I've heard some discussion on it and feel that it may be kosher to disallow private mailings, because plenty of other opportunity to communicate with the voting members is being given to the candidates.